time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, if you have not subscribed to my email digital newsletter, then hop on over to jeffkinley.com and a window will pop up to give you an opportunity to do that, to subscribe to that. And the reason that's so important, not only do you get updates before anyone else gets them and news about what's happening, but also freebies as well. In fact, today I'm giving away some books because those on my subscription list have responded to a question that I asked them on the email list. And by the way, sometimes in some of these mass emails that go out, these things, your particular email provider will flag some of those emails as spam, even though it's something that you have requested. And so you might check your spam folder and do that regularly for an email from Jeff Kinley, author at gmail.com. That's typically the email that I use when I send out these things. But yeah, so if you haven't done that, go ahead and subscribe to that that email newsletter. And if you do so, you should get an automatic free download of an ebook there on faith. So, all right, we're going to conclude what we've been talking about in the origin of Antichrist through Lucifer, through Satan, this demonic entity. And then at the end of this broadcast, I'm actually going to address a couple of the questions that that have been asked of me through this digital email thing about Antichrist, and these people are going to get a free book in the mail. Okay, free signed book. So let's get on to it. We're talking about the devil, and we're talking about the fact that when Lucifer fell, that sin was birthed, and that of course that he came to the earth and that type of thing. But think of it this way: you would think that after Lucifer was chastised by God and cast out of heaven, that he simply would have given up on his scheme, but he didn't. Despite being expelled from heaven, Satan didn't simply resign himself to defeat. He didn't entertain thoughts of just riding into the sunset to lead some obscure existence out there in the netherworld. There was no remorse for his blasphemous offense. There was no repentance. There was no regret. Instead, he continued swelling with arrogance, and he simply regrouped. He reloaded, and he prepared for a long-term battle campaign against the King of Kings has been going on for about 6,000 years. Now, the next strategic strike against God the Creator would be to go after creation itself, which the crown of God's creation is mankind, and the head of that human race was Adam. Adam was God's prototype for the human race, and he and his wife, who were made not righteous, but innocent from sin. They did not have positive righteousness. They simply had the absence of sin. And in our perfect state, we were innocent people. We didn't have the knowledge of sin. That's what Satan highlighted, the fact, in Genesis 3. And so Adam and Eve became bullseye targets of the great deceiver. And what was Satan's original seductive message to mankind? Well, it was just simply, you can be like God. You can be in control. And that temptation seems to be working even today. I mean, Jesus declared in Luke 6:45, he says, "The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth that is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." And over in Mark chapter 7, Jesus said that all of our sin comes not from outside of us, but from within, from the human heart. So when Satan tempts us to worship ourselves, he's simply doing what comes natural for him. He's acting out of his essence. And this pattern that Satan has, y'all, has blazed a traceable trail of pride and self-deceit throughout humanity's recorded history. We see it in Noah's generation, where an entire population of the earth was so in love with themselves that Moses records in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then guess what happened? We see it in Nimrod as well, who was, by the way, the great-grandson of Noah. The name Nimrod, by the way, in Hebrew means rebel, all right? And this mighty hunter, as he's described, became the founder of the kingdom of Babel, which lived up to its name. And whether Nimrod was directly involved with the design and building of the Tower of Babel is a matter of debate, but his prideful spirit certainly inspired the construction of such a structure, which represented the rebellion against heaven. So once again, Satan is trying to use a one person to lead an international, which wasn't international at the time, but it was a global rebellion against God. Other pagan pride-filled rulers would follow in their quest for world domination. People like Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, the Caesars, the conquerors throughout history, kings and dictators, including Stalin and Hitler. Truth be known, I wonder how many million humans, if given the opportunity to rule the world like a god, would simply jump at the chance. You see, Satan has a person chosen for that particular role. Now, both scripture and history testify to the fact that Satan still wants to be in charge. Satan hasn't relegated or abdicated that desire. And yet, so far, he has been prevented from seeing that dream become a reality. He's tried it through many men in history, most recently Adolf Hitler, who, by the way, not only tried to destroy and annihilate the entire Jewish race, which is exactly what the Antichrist would do, not only tried to rule the entire world, which was Hitler's dream, like the Antichrist will try to do. Hitler also had as his vision to set up a thousand-year Reich, a thousand-year reign, mimicking the reign of Jesus, anti-Jesus, anti-Christ. And so he was a sort of an attempt at Satan to try to fulfill that desire. But now the clock is ticking again. An Antichrist day is coming, or as the cover of the book says, his hour has come. God has sovereignly, though, scripted a prophetic plan for the last days. You need to know this, that God has already written the history. This is not something God is sitting back and watching happen. God has scripted all of this under his giant umbrella of sovereignty. And Satan also has an end times agenda as well. Some of that end time agenda God will allow to occur. Some of it he will not. But what he will be able to accomplish is that one day, as the Bible prophesies, Satan will accomplish his dream of ruling the world through a man. And maybe sooner than we expect. Through mimicking heaven's sovereign reign, Satan will effectively forge God's signature on the title deed to planet Earth and humanity through three unholy objectives: independence, authority, and worship. Those are the three pillars upon which the Antichrist will found his reign and his rule. Antichrist will be the vessel through which Satan realizes all the blasphemous and long-sought desires that he has had for ages. The Antichrist is a man through whom the devil will channel his deepest, darkest cravings. But the coming man of sin, the ancient evil, is finally unleashed. And during Antichrist's rise to power, deception, and destruction, his reign will converge like mighty rivers to form a torrent of terror. And like the one who empowers him, his heart is baptized in sin, inflamed with self-love and engorged with an insatiable desire to be like God. And so, we see that the rebellion that began in heaven long ago will culminate in the arrival of this person that Scripture calls, in Daniel 11:38, the willful king. He is energized by evil, deputized by the devil, and saturated in satanic pride. And he is possessed body, mind, and soul by the demon prince of darkness. Friend, global darkness is coming to our world, and it has a name: Antichrist. Now that's the background. And the Bible tells us that this person will arise in the last days, following an event that we refer to as the blessed hope in Scripture, or more popularly known as the rapture. Now, what I want to do in the few remaining moments that I have here is to address two of the many questions that have come in about Antichrist. And by the way, if you sent a question into me, then I am going to answer your question. It may not be on the air, but I'm going to respond to you. I've been waiting for all the questions to come in here. But the ones that I'm responding to, I chose at random that I'm going to send you guys a free signed copy of the book. And I will email you to let you know that I responded to your question. And all I'll need is a mailing address, and I'll shoot that thing in the mail as soon as I can. But let's go ahead and get to a couple of these questions here. This one I get a lot, and it's a common question. This is from Kim, and Kim asks, will the Antichrist know who he is? Will he know he's the Antichrist? And what is written about him in Revelation? Well, let me answer the last part of that question, Kim, first. There's a lot written about Antichrist in Revelation, beginning with Revelation chapter 6, as he is the rider on a white horse who comes to conquer, but to do so peacefully, all the way through chapter 13, where we read about his rise to power and his cooperative partnership with the false prophet, his right-hand man who promotes him through his ruling of the world. We read about the mark of the beast. There, we read about the mark of the beast again, chapter 16 and chapter 19. We eventually get to the conclusion and the destiny and the doom of the Antichrist over in Revelation chapter 19. Here's what's very interesting. There are over 100 passages in the Bible that mention Antichrist, that refer to him. In Revelation, Kim, there are 36 times the Bible refers to Antichrist as the beast, the beast. And that word beast is the Greek word therion, which means a wild, uncontrollable, brutal, ferocious animal. And that is exactly what Antichrist is going to be. Now, here's the question. The Bible tells us he's going to reign for 7 years. He's going to be a prominent world figure for 7 years. Will he know who he is? Will he say to himself, hey, wakes up one morning after the rapture and goes, hey, I think I'm the Antichrist? I don't think so. And here's why. I think that what happens is this. Think that Antichrist is driven by ambition. He's driven by pride. He's driven by an aspiration and a desire to rule and to take and to be a someone who seizes upon this crisis, as all politicians love to do. And he's going to position himself, and somehow, some way, he's going to get himself elected or appointed to this rulership over this coalition of 10 nations. And how that's going to come together exactly, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it is going to be a revived Roman Empire of these 10 nations. And he is going to rise to power. Now, here's the thing. At the midpoint of the tribulation, the Bible tells us that there's going to be essentially a second coup attempt on heaven by Satan and his angels. And they're going to be thrown down to the earth. And at that point, that midpoint of the tribulation, a switch is going to be flipped. And that switch essentially says in Revelation 12:12, it says, woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down to you, and having great wrath, knowing he only has a short time. That short time is 3.5 years. And the devil will go on a rampage wrath. How does he do that? He does it through Antichrist. It is at that midpoint that Satan, through the Antichrist, that the Antichrist will enter the Holy of Holies in the rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem, and he will desecrate that Holy of Holies and declare himself to be God. At that point, I believe Satan fully takes control of Antichrist. Now, whether Satan is just has his foot off the brake so that he can win people over the first 3.5 years, it's really hard to say. But in terms of the cognizance of the Antichrist, we cannot be dogmatic about this, because the scripture, there's not a chapter and verse says, and at this point, the Antichrist says to himself, hey, I think I'm the man of sin. But at that point, he certainly becomes fully possessed by Satan, because he's not entering the temple in the first 3.5 years, right? He's being more satanic through his deception, but all the deception is going to be gone at the point where he is going to enter that temple and declare himself to be God. So if there was ever a point where the Antichrist did realize, you know what, I think I'm I am empowered by Satan to achieve a great destiny, it would be that time. Now, keep this in mind, too. The essence, watch this now, the essence of sin is self-deception. So even the Antichrist, and even with Satan is self-deceived. Satan still thinks he can beat God. And so he's still going to try to fight against the coming Christ, right, at Armageddon. But he's going to lose. He knows he's going to lose, but yet he thinks he can win. And in the same way, the Antichrist is going to be self-deceived to think that perhaps it's just in him where all this power is lying. But really, it's going to be energized by Satan. So it's hard to be definitive as to what he exactly knows about himself. That is a great question, Kim, and you're going to get a free book in the mail from me. Here's another great question, and this one comes from Uriah. And Uriah says, there seems to be some confusion as to whether the Antichrist is a real man or a humanistic system of some kind that takes over the world. He says, I believe he's a real man personally, but can you give me a more definitive answer for those who don't believe that he's an actual person? Well, Uriah, I think we can do that. And here's one principle we need to always keep in mind, is that we need to take Scripture at face value and literally, unless there is a compelling reason to do otherwise. So someone says that you take the plain sense of the Scripture, that usually makes sense, because if you don't let the plain sense make sense, you'll end up with nonsense, okay? So that's one of the principles of Bible interpretation. When we look at the Antichrist, here's what we find. Now, there's several options here. Someone could say, well, the Antichrist is just a figment of John's imagination. This guy, he's got PTSD from being boiled alive in oil, okay? So you can't take this old man seriously. That would be sort of more of an unbeliever's standpoint. Other people have said, no, it's a symbolic of a governmental system or a secret committee of even artificial intelligence. And this stems from what we just talked about, the symbolic, non-literal, interpretive approach to the book of Revelation. And if that's true, then guess what? We have no idea what any of Revelation means. Everything's symbolic. Then people have said, is he a principle of evil? He's just evil. That's what he's talking about. Antichrist is just it's just another word for evil. He's abstract. He's metaphysical. And they talk about the spirit of Antichrist, and that just kind of bolsters that argument, they say. But what about the rest of the characters in Revelation? What about the pastors that are mentioned? What about the angels? What about Jesus? What about the false prophet? Are all those things symbolic as well? Now, I think it's best to read the Bible in its literal grammatical context and to take Antichrist exactly as the Bible portrays him to be, as a real person. 5 times in John's first, in his little epistles, he mentions Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist as a real person. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he's called a man. He's called the son of perdition. Daniel 8:23, he's called a prince. Male pronouns are used throughout. And Daniel and Jesus and Paul and John all depict Antichrist as a real person. So for that reason alone, I think we can confidently say that the Bible predicts not just a system of evil, not just a rogue government or an evil government or some sort of system or artificial intelligence, but an actual person who is going to lead this empire. And certainly his empire is going to reflect who he is. Someone has said to me, hey, do you think Hillary Clinton could be the Antichrist? I'm like, I am 100% sure that Hillary Clinton is not the Antichrist. How do I know that? Well, number one, she's not a man, okay? So that pretty much rules her out completely. But secondly, Hillary Clinton is not evil enough to be the Antichrist. There are many evil people in our world today, many evil politicians, but none have ever even scratched the surface for being as evil as this one person that the Bible calls the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. And so, Uriah, I do believe that he is going to be an actual person. I believe that the Bible teaches that. There's nothing in the Bible that would lead us to believe that he is anything other than an actual person. And so, that's my take on that. So, Uriah, you're going to get an email from me asking for your mailing address, and I'm going to send you a free signed copy of the book in the mail. Now, if you want to make yourself eligible for some of these other giveaways, then make sure you sign up for my email list. I only send about one email a month. That's not a lot of email to be on an email list. I'm on email list. I have to unsubscribe to for all the time, because they're always sending me stuff. You know, it's like more than I asked for. I'm not going to spam your box with all these emails, but if you sign up, I'll send you about one email a month. Something, and it's always something that I think is important for you to get. So I won't be sending you a bunch of meaningless stuff. But if you do sign up, make sure that you check your spam folder periodically, because sometimes some of these mass emails will go into that. And also, if you've already bought the book, do me a huge favor. Go on Amazon if you can, write a review. Just, it doesn't have to be, you know, a huge review. Could be a couple sentences, couple of words, whatever you want to do. And also, take a picture of you with that book and post it all over social media and tag me in it. Tag me on Instagram. Tag me on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. I'd love to see that, and it would be a great encouragement to me. Hey, until next time, Vintage Truth Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.